That's the sound of the horn. Welcome to an all-new Talk to the Hand Clipcast. I'm your host, Chris Wilde. With me, as always, Talk to the Paw, it's Jaguar.
My Jaguar, you're pushing the new dog. I like it.
If you've got a nut allergy, you need to just not follow the Clippers, because last week was a nutty, nutty week, Jag.
You know how it actually started was who was going to be right, Jag Stradamus or you?
Yeah, you called 3-2 on the road trip, and you were absolutely right.
Jag Stradamus or you?
If Blake doesn't break his hand, by the way, and these guys like play, you know, like deers in the headlights in Toronto, we would have gone 4-1, and I would have been right.
But what you said is you thought that he'd be back in Cleveland.
I was wrong about that. I wish he was, Jag. I wish he was.
You were wrong about that. And you know what else? No more Jay Smooth.
No more. Did that? Wait, that happened this week?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No more Jay Smooth.
Okay, so in case you live in a cave underneath a rock on the dark side of the moon, let me tell you what happened this week. Saturday in Toronto.
Even if you belong to ISIS, you probably have heard of this.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. As Obama says, ISIL. Saturday in Toronto, Klay Thompson called Blake Griffin a bull in a China shop. Well, Saturday in Toronto, he was a bull in a Canadian restaurant. Blake Griffin went crazy. Blake Griffin lost his damn mind in Toronto in a restaurant and went nuts on his good buddy, Matthias Testi, who is equipment manager. But more than that, he's best friends with DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin. Like, these guys are thick as thieves. They litter each other's Instagram feeds, Jack.
So what you're saying is he tried to audition himself for Jurassic World 2.
Blake?
Yes, in Toronto.
Blake got the role.
Blake got the role.
And he hit his way out of Space Jam 2, that's for sure.
Well, we started this road trip thinking that he would be back from his injury. And it was interesting because we went to Cleveland.
We lost.
Lost. Sloppy game.
Super
next
sloppy.
Super sloppy. Next night, just shelled New York. Shelled them.
In the Garden.
Great performance. Yeah, in the Garden.
Now, in that time, we trade Josh Smooth, Jay Smith, Jay Smoove, back to Houston for a song and a dance.
For a smooth soundtrack. And then, on Sunday, Clips play
Toronto. And what the world doesn't know is, how come this Clipper ship has no wind in their sails? We started out hot.
Hot.
But man, the bench came in and crapped the boat. And then the starters came back in and continued to litter the poop deck. And we just played terribly in Toronto because of what happened the day before in Toronto. Now, Monday night, I find out from my source what happens. Tuesday, the world finds out what happens. Jack, do you want to do your nutshell summary of what the heck went down in Toronto?
Well, I will do my nutshell summary of basically from what we're hearing. And again, we're just going to state the facts of what we know. We're not going to sit here and, you know, speculate with the world.
I want to say this first, Jag. Remember that Clipcast I did years and years ago when I went to Portland and it was like a rose garden by any other name or something like that, or every rose garden has its thorn. I can't remember. But I went out to Portland and I said, oh my gosh, I walk into the bar and it turns out I'm in the restaurant and I'm in the bar in the restaurant of the hotel the Clippers are staying in. And there's Vinny at the bar drinking a coffee, going over his playbook. I chat with Lamar Odom. I go into the, use the men's room and I go into the back and there is around a table eating lunch pregame, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, and Matthias Testi. But this guy, Matthias, is part of the crew. Matthias, DeAndre, and Blake constantly go out and grab bites together on the road. They vacation together. We all know Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan are besties. Jamal Crawford called him peanut butter and jelly.
But the other thing that we all have to remember in this equation is Matthias worked for the organization.
He's a company man, Jack.
he's a company man, and in all reality, this was a business trip.
Sure.
This was a business trip.
And I'm glad you said that business trip, because I'm going to make some points after the nutshell summary that, unfortunately, as fans, our heart and soul bleed Clipper red. But you got to think like a businessman for what's going on in the head of one Stephen Ballmer.
Well, you also have to look at it from a business perspective. Again, this was not an incident that he got into it with someone, you know,
some Yahoo
at a restaurant. Yeah, some Yahoo
outside the club.
This is someone that makes it an HR matter.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
in the inner circle,
someone
Jack.
That is literally part of your family. Like, they spend more time together than most families.
Sure. Not anymore.
And not anymore. But again, for those of you, Matthias was an equipment staffer.
How many times did you see him? Probably 50, 60 times, Jack. I mean, I've seen this guy 100 times.
Yeah, we see him all the time.
I say, like, what's up to him when I see him in the hallways.
Yeah. And so Blake and him get into it, basically, at the restaurant.
They're a-jawing with each other.
And from what we're hearing, it was basically ribbing going too far.
Right.
And Blake supposedly hits him at the table, then goes after him again. Now
no one's ever going to know exactly what was said, because DeAndre was at the table, Blake was at the table, Matthias was at the table, and I think there was a fourth who was at the table. I could be wrong. I know those three were, and I think there was a fourth. So no one's really going to know what was said at that table.
There's been so much speculation, but no, who knows?
Did you hear anything? You heard a crazy thing that was said that I heard was not true.
Oh, the old, the team's better without you?
Yes, that's what you heard. You heard the team is better without you, and that set Blake off. I heard that Blake called Matthias a mooch, and Matthias called Blake a... Blake went nuts. I also heard, like, Blake said, you say another word, I'm going to hit you or something. And then Matthias said another word, and then Blake hit him.
No one will know.
No one will know. So then, I wasn't there. Were you there?
No. No. And then, from what we understand, he went after him outside. And there is, Ben Mulch has covered this actually really well. Basically, the police asked him if he was okay, and he said he was fine. And
right.
no charges were pressed.
Snitches need stitches,
or
Jack.
Filed. There was nothing filed.
No snitching.
So, yeah, no snitching.
I also heard that DeAndre Jordan broke up the fight, and that DeAndre Jordan feels terrible because he thought he could have done more. He should have stopped it before it started. But, I mean, I don't know how you can stop a bull in not a China shop in a Canadian restaurant.
Yeah, no, and, you know, supposedly Matthias was sent to a local hospital, treated for facial injuries.
Right.
Nothing broke, and sent home by the organization.
And he's still on the payroll, and he's not going anywhere. And it's really going to – I mean, I'm very interested to see the dynamic between Matthias. I also, like, when will we see Blake again, Jack?
I don't know. I mean, let's look at this. What Blake did, you know, again, it's a mistake. It's despicable, but we all do make mistakes. I mean, again,
sure.
He's 26 years old.
I've been hit.
He's not 21 anymore.
I've got a mouth on me, Jag, and I've been hit.
Yeah.
I've never hit anybody, but I've certainly been hit. You know my mouth.
You've been hit.
I'm a hothead. I'm a loudmouth.
We've had altercations with friends before. People have. And things are said, but again, Blake is the face of a franchise.
Well, what's crazy to me, Jag,
he's a multimillionaire, and he's the most important thing, Chris. He's a brand.
Absolutely.
He's a brand.
What happens to Kia, Jag?
What happens to Red Bull? I mean, one of the first things that came to my mind when this happened, something, I know you're not a big football fan, but about a month ago,
it's American rugby. They play 16 games. It's nonsense.
Odell Beckham got into a scrum.
Junior, I believe.
And this was on the field. Took some cheap shots.
Right.
And everyone thought that the way he handled himself was absurd. He ended up getting suspended one game by the NFL, but it made him look so cowardly,
right,
and it made him look like he doesn't know how to control himself. That, again, NFL is not the NBA or Major League Baseball when we're talking guaranteed contracts.
Right.
We're talking about a guy that is ruining his brand. And you make a lot of your money off commercials. Now, Blake has what? He has Kia. He has Red Bull. Does he still have GameStop?
I don't know GameStop. About GameStop, Jack. But he's obviously, you know, Team Jumpman or whatever.
Did GameStop stop?
I think GameStop might start. He might be pushing some fighting games.
Well, that's a possibility, too.
Well, what's craziest to me, Jack, is that this guy can keep his cool and keep his composure when the enemy on the floor is pummeling him and fouling him and pushing him and taking cheap shots, and he's never thrown a punch ever on the floor, and homie just snapped. Now, do I wish that he snapped on the floor versus, like, Zach Randolph? Yes, I do. I wish that. But he didn't, and I can't change what happened. Blake went nuts.
If Matt Barnes were to do this, people probably would have been, it's Matt Barnes.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Matt Barnes did get into a fight with Derek Fisher, and he did get suspended two games. But he did it when he wasn't a Clipper, and he got suspended two games. Now, the league, as we all know, hates the Clippers. So Blake Griffin is going to get suspended, I think, at least double that.
Well, there is going to be a penalty. There's going to be a fine.
Well, the Clippers are definitely going to suspend him.
There could be a suspension. I mean, the team is investigating everything.
Right.
Who knows what the league is.
Right.
But I mean, for getting back to what you said, like, this is Ballmer's first big issue.
Sure.
I mean, this is, we're not talking about, you know, the moves that Doc made and if they didn't work out or not. We're talking about the face of your franchise.
Absolutely. This isn't, you know, Spencer Hawes's man bun.
No, this is not his man bun that can easily be shipped to Charlotte.
This isn't Jared Dudley's Kermit the Frog voice.
Can you do that for me? I'm Kermit the Frog.
Sorry I missed the three. Quiet, Frog! Hey,
yeah! It's the Muppet Show!
That was great. But this is a guy that has the keys to the castle.
Well, here's the thing, Jag. All right, as an impassioned fan, I'll be honest. Blake Griffin is my favorite athlete ever, okay? Not my favorite Clipper, not my favorite basketball player. Blake Griffin is my favorite athlete ever. Impassioned, fanatic, Clipper loony Chris Wilde says, we all make mistakes, forgive and forget, move on. Blake comes back in 2 months, by the way, not 4 to 6 weeks. Let's be honest, it's going to be 2 months that he's out. Blake comes back in two
at
months.
At least. Doc thought that four to 6 weeks was unrealistic.
Loudmouth hothead Chris Wilde, super fan, says, I want Blake Griffin's jersey hung from the rafters in our new Ballmer Stadium. I want my own stadium. I want it to be the Blake Griffin Stadium. I want Blake Griffin's number retired. I want Blake Griffin to play all his seasons with the Clippers. That's what Chris Wilde says. But when I put on my Steve Ballmer boots, and they're very expensive, like alligator crocodile boots, I don't know that Ballmer doesn't look at this like a very savvy businessman, because he's a very savvy businessman. And he spent a lot of money and he made an investment and he wants to make a return on this. And his star, his franchise player, just stupidly got out of the game for at least 2 months. So this guy who's getting paid millions of dollars.
Right before he was coming back.
So Ballmer's like, why am I paying millions and millions of dollars to this guy who could do it again? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I just don't see Ballmer getting fooled twice. Now, does he give Blake a second chance? Maybe. But Clipper fans need to embrace the emotional reality that we may never see Blake Griffin in a Clipper jersey ever again, Jacqueline.
Well, I mean, Blake is trying to patch things up with the organization. He went and issued that apology via Twitter.
That apology, he didn't say, as soon as I can, I'll get back in a Clipper uniform. He said, back in the game.
Yeah.
Doc Rivers, in his statement, said, we need to move forward.
To the players. And the players are the ones that I really feel for, the players and the organization.
I mean, after that win last two nights ago, I mean, I'm so fired up about this Blake Griffin thing. Okay, I know we won in Atlanta last night. Oh, who did we beat two nights ago, Jack?
Indiana.
After that win in Indiana two nights ago, Chris Paul looked like he was at a funeral. Like, he was exhausted. He looked like he was going to cry. He was just mentally, physically exhausted. And it's all because of this incident.
You know, and Chris Paul, say what you want to say, you know, he is a true leader.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Charles Barkley calls him the best leader in the game. And every time, you know, when things get tough, Chris Paul finds a way to get out of that tunnel. And
13-3 without Blake, Jack.
13-3 without Blake. What, 14 out of the last 17?
I'm very interested to see what happens on Friday night when we play the luckless Lakers, the L word, excuse me. Does Chris Paul get announced last, finally? Because we've never really seen that in the introductions.
No, it's been Paul Pierce ever since Blake was out of the lineup.
And knowing Chris Paul, I'm sure he'll insist that that stays the same. But that'll be a huge tell, Jag. That'll be a huge tell if Chris Paul is introduced last on Friday night.
I hope he is. I mean, Chris has been phenomenal. And I think Chris and Doc are the two, you know, they're the rocks, you know, with this franchise. Again, say what you want about Doc Rivers, you know, and you know, you want to criticize him as a coach, you want to criticize him as a GM.
This you can't man criticize knows him as a leader.
No, you can't. And 2 years ago, like, when we went through all the Sterling stuff, he was the one leading the charge.
Yeah.
And he's the one that's going to lead this charge, no matter what angle it is.
You know how former New York City Mayor Bloomberg wants to, like, maybe enter the presidential race as a third party? Well, if he was smart, it would be the Bloomberg Rivers ticket, because they get my vote.
I mean, he's basically dealing with, you know, his valedictorian son that got in trouble.
We're talking about Blake. You're not talking about Austin.
We're not talking about Austin. We're talking about Blake.
We're not talking about his literal son. We're talking about his valedictorian son, Blake.
Multiple All-Stars.
Honor roll student, Jack.
Honor roll student.
In the school of basketball.
Decides to more than ditch class.
Go nuts.
And something happens. Who's the one taking who's the one leading the fight? Doc and the man called the point guard on the floor. It's been phenomenal. I mean, two straight wins after this. They could have easily
collapsed.
Collapsed. You know, tail between the legs, but they
could have gone
legs.
1-4 in that road trip easily.
It could have been a disaster, and you know, we could be thinking that this is going to be a 6 or 7 seed at best.
No,
you know, but
I see us at the 4.
They're going. Yeah, I mean, Memphis has a cake schedule, and they're not too far behind. But you know, Jack Strazamas at the beginning of this road trip did predict 3-2, and they went 3-2.
Yeah, you didn't predict the Blake nonsense.
I didn't know.
No one saw that coming.
I didn't know. I didn't predict that.
I got to hand it to you, Jack.
The win in Atlanta was, I think, so much sweeter because it's the end. It's the final game of this road trip.
Yep.
You go 3-2, so you got that going for you. First win in Atlanta, Chris. Get this: in almost 7 years.
Good Lord.
February 7th, 2009.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
Atlanta's always had our number in the ATL until last night.
Another very interesting thing: the team is 20-2 when they hold opponents under 100 points.
Incredible.
But I mean, just the execution down the stretch to be able to hold off Atlanta, DJ getting that flush at the end, and then that ball ricocheting off of Chris. And if it wasn't for that Millsap, you know, miss, they probably would have lost that game, but he misses two of his last shots, and you take it and you run, you get out of the building.
That's right.
And it was a phenomenal thing.
And two nights ago, Luke Mbamute breaks up the pass.
Yep.
In the waning moments.
Yeah. I mean, this is an organization that is dealing with a crisis, but they're going through it. and they know that they have jobs to do as men, and their jobs are to win games and to try to win a championship. And if that is with or without Blake Griffin, they're going
to
go on with
it. It's really too soon to tell what's going to happen. It really is.
We don't know. We have no clue.
By the time Blake's hand heals, cooler heads may prevail.
Yeah.
And all could possibly be forgiven.
Yep.
That being said, we might see huge earth-shattering, game-changing moves any day now, Jack.
You know the craziest thing about this, too, is like you get all these people, especially the day after, you get everyone on First Take. You get, all these people, Tim Kawakami, that actually writes for the Warriors beat, is basically trolling Clipper fans, saying that the Clippers should call the Cavs and get Kevin Love. All these people are putting him on the block before we even know what is going on. And it's all speculation because not everyone knows the facts.
Yeah, but Jack, they'll never know the facts. Only DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, and Matthias Testi know the facts. That's a fact. Only they know what happened.
And Matthias is, according to Doc, going to rejoin the team. Now, again, the team is going to be back in L.A., you know, to start the three-game homestand.
That's right.
But, again, this is it was a business trip. It's a company, you know, affair.
It's in-company fighting, literally. It's in-house, except for they work for the NBA, and the NBA is going to get involved, and the NBA is going to suspend Mr. Griffin. Now, again, Jag, Steve Ballmer, I don't think he puts up with this.
I do. I can't tell you one way or another. Whatever, you know, whatever he or and Doc decide on, it's going to be for the best of the organization. It's going to be the best for the best of the LA Clippers.
Been reading between the lines, and every statement that I read it two ways. One, Blake's coming back and all is forgiven. And two, Blake is gone. And when I read it, the latter, when I read it, Blake is gone, everything everyone's saying seems to make more sense. So that's, I don't want to say it ain't so, Jag, say it ain't so. But if I was a gambling man, and thank God I'm not, because I wouldn't live in a house, I'd live on the streets in the gutter, because I don't make a lot of great calls, as you've heard on this show. Many years I've predicted 82-0. I don't think I've been right
82-0,
once.
Yeah. You know, 5-0 in this road trip.
But I'll tell you, Jag, if I was a gambling man, I would bet you don't see Blake in a Clipper uniform. And that's the fact. And that's sad. And I don't want to be right on this. I want to be wrong.
See, I think the one thing you got to stop yourself on this, though, too, is that, again, we're reading between the lines like everyone else is trying to read between the lines.
Sure. But I mean, but we're more well-versed in Clipperdom than all of these idiots. I mean, like,
yeah.
I watched one game that Marv Albert called or somebody called, and they were like, Luke Mbamute is in for an injured Blake Griffin. I'm like, and I'm yelling at the screen, no, he's not. Paul Pierce is in for an injured Blake Griffin. Luke Mbamute has started the past 20 games, Marv.
Yeah. No, I understand where you're coming from, but everything that is being said, you know, you can read both ways. And we can sit here and say, this is what I think. I mean, honestly, I don't know. I agree with Doc from the sense that this is going to be longer than we expect because it's a hand. I mean, I've had a hand injury.
That's another reason why I think he's gone, because any of these teams that don't have stars, Jag, would bend over backwards to get a star like Blake Griffin. And the Clippers, now granted, the Clippers are getting results. The Clippers are 13-3 without Blake Griffin. We could stand pat and be just fine.
But at the end, they'll be just fine to hold the fort, and they can probably win one round. But Blake does give you the best chance to beat Golden State. And they are probably the team, you know, outside of the Spurs and even say the Thunder, but they can give the Warriors a shot. And to beat them, you do need a healthy Blake Griffin. Now, that again, is he going to be healthy by then? That, again, we don't know.
Right.
It's all crazy. It really is.
unless we really free fall, we're not going to face San Antonio or Golden State in the first round. We're just not. We're going to have to face them in the second round.
No, it's probably going
to
be Memphis or Houston. It would probably be Memphis or Houston.
Right. But we could also face Dallas, Jag. We could also, you know, Dallas could be one of those teams.
No, I think it will be either Memphis or Houston. But again, you know, will this team make a trade now? Will this force their hand?
Force their broken hand, Jag. Force their broken hand.
Hey, it might be broken, but it's strong.
It's a great hand. I don't want Blake to go anywhere, Jag. I could read tomorrow that a surgeon comes in and says Blake Griffin is done for the rest of the season until next season. His hand will not heal. He broke all of his fingers, all of his knuckles, all of his wrist. He's America's worst hitter, and he broke the whole darn thing. It's completely shattered. I could read that tomorrow, and I'd still want to keep Blake Griffin. That's me. I'd say stand pat, stay with your guy. I want Blake Griffin to retire a Clipper. I want to retire his jersey. I just won't be surprised if I also read tomorrow of some monster deal, because the majority of teams in this league do not have a superstar of his caliber. Only about four or five teams have a superstar of his caliber. And the guy is not even in his prime yet, Jag. So we could get enormous pieces for him.
Well, the key, you know, if you were, and again, we're all, you know, doing the hypothetical. Again, we're doing the old first take. If you were to, you would want to find pieces that help you, you know, now,
right
with
now,
the CP's window, and down the road.
Sure.
So you don't want to go and trade it, you know, for a bunch of draft picks and a young guy. You want to get something that's going to help you out now, and then something that's going to help you out in the future. And, you know, that is very possible.
I mean, you go for a great starting three and a good starting four.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about one of the top 10 players in the league, you know.
We're talking about a guy who sells out arenas on the road as a rookie.
Perennial all-star.
Yeah.
You know, he's all over commercials. He's had it all.
He's one of the top five most recognizable active players. I guess he's inactive now. But look, we're not just speculating, Jack. We know the Clippers better than most, except for one guy who might know them better than us, who was on the road during the incident. I'm talking about Rowan Kavner. I say we check in on the road with Rowan right now.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Thanks, guys, and what a wild week it was. I thought initially the only drama was whether or not we'd get out of New York after the Clippers won a pretty nice victory against the Knicks, but the storm was coming, and of course that meant the game would slow down more than ever before with hacks and reviews, and there were many times where we wondered if we'd even be able to get out of New York. If they didn't get out that night, I'm not really sure what would have happened there. The Clippers were initially supposed to stay that night in the city after the game and then leave the next day with an off day before the Raptors game, but the storm was that bad that it had to change plans. That happens very rarely on the road for these guys. So instead, right after the win, it was straight to the runway, but the team was last on a list of teams that had already planned to leave that night from the airport. So that meant the Clippers had to sit on the runway for hours getting de-iced. And as time passed, the weather worsened. There were multiple times I wasn't even sure that the team would be able to make it out even after the de-icing. I think an announcement went off on the plane that they'd prepare for takeoff, and then it was still another 30 to 45 minute wait. But with the weather coming, I know they couldn't risk it. Definitely past midnight, they eventually take off. The wheels went up off to Toronto. Little did we know at the time that might have been the least of the Clippers' worries and the least dramatic part of a trip that just really became kind of a crazy one. It was already going to be tough against the East elite teams on a five-game road trip, but with everything that happened off the court, obviously it became much more tougher mentally and emotionally. And there's really not much to add to that Blake Griffin story other than what's already, you know, been reported, but the struggles during the game in Toronto became quite a bit more understandable after everything that came out. I think it was mostly a feeling of shock. I mean, these were two really close friends, both of whom meant a great deal to everyone on the team. And it's an understandably tough situation, confusing situation. And that's something that the Clippers definitely could have felt the after effects to during that trip. I mean, I'm sure they're going to keep hearing questions about it on and on and on. But at least on the court, after starting the trip 1-2, you know, disaster could have struck for them in the standings as well. They easily, given the circumstances, could have dropped the next two games, a back-to-back against two of the East's really elite teams where they've struggled before. But the backup group, which was maligned in Toronto after, as Redick put it, they took it on the chin from Doc following what was easily their worst performance of the year against the Raptors. And they really dug down defensively and kind of led the way in Indiana and Atlanta. I mean, not only did the Clippers make it a respectable road trip on one that was already extremely dramatic, but they turned it into a winning one. It's a strange time in Clipperland, given everything that's happened off the court, and it has to be kind of a conflicting feeling for everyone, even with the wins that are coming. But they've found a way not only to try to move past and dig deep and get past what happened, but they've reflected it now in their record, that kind of strength, where they go 3-2 on a really tough road trip. And you know, all the questions that they've already fielded will inevitably continue as they get ready for the Lakers. But they've done a good job at least trying to move past it in the present. I'm sure, again, it's going to be a tough situation for weeks to come here. But if they can keep finding ways to win games, which they've done since Blake's gone down, it'll definitely ease the burden that's gone on. I can't wait to get
on the road again. On the road with Rowan. Do you like the traffic noises in the background, Jack?
Yes, and I like your on the road again intro too.
Now I would have to do that. So my traffic noises, I Google searched Indian traffic noise, because I don't know if you've ever been to India, Jag, but the traffic there is like it's crazy. It'll make you lose your mind.
Well, again, you know, Rowan's been phenomenal contributing for us over the last couple of months. He's done a great job. And he does a great job with Clippers.com.
Oh, he's the best. He's the best. And he's here to stay. He's a young kid. We've got him. I mean, that's the thing, Jag. This Clippers organization is great from top to bottom. So when you see a blemish on the squad, which is what happened, especially to one of their own, it really hurts more than anything else. Like, you talking to me about Odell Beckham Jr. earlier in the show. That's the same team where the guy shot his foot. You know, like that, like the Giants and football players are a bunch of idiots. The Clippers are all classy guys.
No, and they've done a great job, you know, trying to get out of that cloud that Sterling, you know, built.
Yes. And this is a big tell, Jag. How will Ballmer and the organization and Doc handle this first non-Sterling controversy?
And again, you know, I don't want to, you know, toot their horns, but Doc and Chris Paul deserve high accolades for what has gone on the last two games.
Absolutely.
And how they have handled everything. And the players, you know, J.J. Redick, who just started his new podcast.
I can't wait. I can't believe the Clipper Nation has Tuesdays with J.J. and Thursdays with Jaguar and the Wildman. I mean, come on, Clipper Nation. You got some serious Clip Nation podcast.
Part of Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast on Yahoo. But, you know, these guys have gone through it. And they know that, you know, Blake is still a teammate. They're there for Blake. They've been through the trenches with him. You know, Doc has said that Blake is a part of the organization. So until we see further, he's going to be part of this organization yet.
Well, here's another big sign, Jag. Here's another very big sign. What are the banners going to talk to us about on Friday? Obviously, Blake is going to still be there up there in the rafters. Josh Smith is going to be gone. What are they going to have there? Are they going to have a big, you know, black blank banner that's like to signify Cole Aldrich's missing tooth? Will they have Cole Aldrich's face up there? Should they put Doc up there?
Well, they should put Doc up there. And let's not forget, it's Josh Smith and part of Blake's elbow that is one of the other parts of the banners, which I haven't understood why an elbow takes up an entire banner.
Because Blake is so big, they needed to give him more than one banner.
I understand that. But with Josh Smith being gone, do you go Austin? Do you go Wes Johnson? Wouldn't a Pablo be great?
A Pablo Prigioni banner would be epic, Jack.
It would be phenomenal. I think people would die for that.
So we've got Blake, Chris, DeAndre, Jamal, Paul, and it used to be Josh. It was six guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Six guys, six banners. Josh is gone. They got to put something up there. I personally wish they did the Pacific Division champion banners, but they won't. I think it should be Doc, but I think Doc's too humble to ever do that. So which player makes the most sense? Is it Cole, or is it Austin, or is it Wesley?
I think it's going to be Wesley.
Yeah? That's big for Wes Johnson, man. To go from across the hallway to Clippertown and to get your giant banner covering you-know-whose banners? That's big for Wesley.
No, I think it'll be Wes or Austin. You know, I really do.
I'd like Ballmer up there. I'd like Cole up there. I'd like a selfie of us saying every Thursday morning, listen to Clipcast.
What? That would be phenomenal. Just our selfie up there.
Maybe they should kiss up to the league and put Adam Silver up there.
That would be phenomenal as well.
Right? I mean, and then maybe Blake only gets suspended one game.
Phil Silver's first big thing, he did his commish was take care of Sterling. So why can't we take care of him?
Banned for life. And congratulations, you're bannered for life, my friend.
Yes. That is true.
So we'll find out more at Friday night's home game. I agree. I think that Paul Pierce will be introduced last because Chris Paul is just that kind of guy. I did notice tonight during the Fox Sports broadcast on Prime Ticket when they finally eventually actually showed the game and not random golf footage.
Wasn't that phenomenal? I mean, we were talking about this off the air for those of you that don't watch Prime Ticket.
Right. You're not in the LA area. You're not in the local market.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, we want to watch the Clipper game, and Golf America is on.
Golf America comes on, and two very scary robot ladies talk about the inchworm technique putting at some golf course outside of Las Vegas, and then a very unpleasant man in front of what looked like a green screen of the golf course was talking directly into my soul and creeping me out, and I'm like, where the hell is Lawler?
Where is Lawler? Where is Mike Smith?
Where's the game?
I mean, if this was a Chris Paul golf classic, we'd take it. But we're talking about trying to watch this precious game.
Right.
And Golf America. And if it wasn't for Lawler
tweeting
to the world, yeah.
It will be back by tip-off, I promise. You know, Jag, yeah. You mentioned this before we recorded, but you're right. Clipper Nation needed a laugh. We needed something to go wrong that had nothing to do with Clipper Nation, that was completely out of our hands, that didn't affect our team, and it was kind of perfect timing. And then they came back just in time for tip-off.
It was phenomenal because it's like, oh, of course this is happening.
Right. What else could go wrong?
But it had nothing to do with the team.
That's right.
And just to have this random golf show on that I don't even know what it exactly was. Some groundskeeper, it wasn't Bill Murray, I'll tell you that much.
I literally thought I thought the ghosts came and changed the channel. I thought my house was haunted.
That's what I thought too.
I immediately blamed my child and then my wife.
I blamed all my coworkers and the person in the kitchen getting their coffee.
Who's been messing with Daddy's remote?
Daddy's remote.
Dude, it was a great win last night. It was a great win the night before. It was very imperative to win these back-to-backs. It's been very imperative to go 13-3
20 from Picasso.
Without Blake.
He painted another picture, too.
At what point, Jag, do we stop talking about what the statistics are without Blake?
I don't think it's going to go away until he's back.
Right? Until he's back or he's gone. Like,
yeah, and the thing is like, I remember, you know, just a week ago, we're talking to these guys, we're going to be this much better to get him back.
Right.
We are going to have, you know, a good amount of time to get him back, to, you know, implement him with the way this team's been playing, because they have been spreading the floor unbelievably. They've been hitting more threes, you know, at an unruly pace.
Well, Jack, and that brings up a good point, because a week ago they were saying during every interview of every player, we're just trying to get as many wins as we can before the big fella comes back. We're just trying to keep the ball moving and hold down the fort before the big guy gets back, until Big Blake gets back. You've noticed that talk has stopped.
Well, and I think this team has to have it, you know, have that swagger that they built for themselves, that it's us against the world, and we're going to win games the way we need to win games.
Embrace the hate.
I think one of the things that we've, over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, especially under Doc, they've been such a good competitive team, but we have always kind of questioned the consistency. If it's the execution at the end of games, if it's the defense, if it's the offensive ball movement, that this team didn't drive fear into other teams. You know, with the Warriors, you know what you're getting into. Mentally, you play the Warriors, you're trying to play catch-up before it starts. The Spurs, you're trying to not get outsmarted. Now, with the Clippers, I think from now on, with Blake or without Blake, I mean, you can't count on him being there for the rest of the season. This team just needs to do what they're doing, which is find a way to grind. Find a way to play your game in that moment. And that's what they're doing. And I think that's the only thing that they can really count on right now is themselves.
Well, I noticed that Fox Sports, like, literally was promoting Friday night's game versus the L Word. And it was like, CP3 leading Lob City to this and that. And it's just shots of Chris Paul throwing up lobs to DeAndre. It's CP3. It's DJ Talk. It's shots of JJ and Jamal. And then it's like, you know, and Kobe Bryant, you know, doesn't want to go down and blah, blah, blah. You know, will the Lakers upset your Clippers or something? They did a wonderful job of never mentioning Mr. Griffin, as they shouldn't, because he's not going to be in that game game. Another Jag, is will Blake be in the building?
I don't know. I mean, this is a company matter. This is a lot higher than, you know, will he be in the building?
If he's not at the games Friday, Sunday, and whenever that third game is, when is that third game in the homestand, Jack?
Wednesday.
Oh, that's going to be a great episode.
That's our next clip.
If he's not in the building versus L Word Friday versus the Chicago Bulls Sunday afternoon, and if he's not in the building Wednesday night versus Minnesota, that's a huge tell. Obviously, if his banner, the banner will be up. Blake's banner will be up. If that banner is down, then the writing is literally on the wall.
Well, the writing would be on the wall if they recut every freaking promo in game. If they took his banner off the wall,
right.
then we'd know.
Right.
I don't think off of three games, him not going to three games, that we're gonna know yet. I think that
why wouldn't he go to three games? He just broke his hand. It's just a cast. It's just a hand. It's just a cast on a hand.
I don't know. You know,
it's more than just a cast, and it's more than just a podcast. It's Clipcast.
It is Clipcast. It is. But again, we got the three games coming up. That, you know, getting back to what you said about the plug with the Laker game.
Right.
The Sunday showcase is against the Bulls.
Right. That's
ABC.
And
that was built as Jimmy Butler versus CP3. So
there you go.
That's another one. So we go L Word, then we go Sunday showcase against the Bulls, who are playing without Mirotić, who's out until after the All-Star break.
Ah, doesn't it just kill you that you don't get to see Blake dunk over Pau Gasol?
Yeah, I know.
It's the best.
I know.
Those are the best moments of my life. My child being born and Blake Griffin dunking over Pau Gasol in that awful yellow and purple and gold crap uniform. I loved those moments.
Well, we're going to have to hold on to those moments for now. For us. I mean, that's all we can do. We know one thing for sure. You know, we know the odds are that West Reserve's not being announced, you know, on
Sunday.
Tonight, by the way.
When?
Tonight we'll find out. The CP make another All-Star game.
When do we find out?
Again, it's January. Tonight.
Tonight we find out?
Tonight we find out.
Oh, my God. I mean,
will DeAndre, with Popovich getting the nod, will DeAndre get a nudge?
Well, I mean, Blake's going to make the coach's choice, right? And then all
no,
of a sudden,
he won't.
He'll get
he
waived.
Will not. He will not. He's not going to make the coach's choice. He won't.
Because of the fight?
He wasn't going to anyways.
Come on. His numbers before the injury were phenomenal, Jack.
Before the injury? That was over 5 weeks ago.
So the coaches aren't going to select him because they know he's going to be injured. They're not going to honor his great numbers up until Christmas?
No. I mean, he was on the bubble to begin with.
I disagree that he was on the bubble. I understand that maybe he was on the bubble because of the injury. The guy was putting up phenomenal numbers up until Christmas Day.
Draymond Green is going out of his mind. Anthony Davis will probably get it. And you're going to, Dirk Nowitzki will probably get it.
Nowitzki?
Yes. He's having a phenomenal year.
Not as good as Blake's was up until Christmas Day.
He's a Hall of Famer. He was on the bubble. I'm not going to sit here and say he wasn't going to make it. Now I don't think he'll make it for sure.
Okay.
But he was on the bubble. He was on the bubble.
So tonight I have to watch TNT to find out who makes it to the All-Star game. Is that what you're telling me, Jack?
Yes. Yes.
Well, Chris Paul's going. But will he be joined by JJ or DJ? And JJ, as you and Amico discussed in a brilliant interview last week on the show.
And by the way, congratulations to Tyronn Lue, huh?
That was nutty that Jack Stradamus called that. That was a bold call.
I just asked him. If that was possible.
Yeah, but the only reason you asked him that is because your Jack Stradamus crystal ball told you to, Jag.
Yeah, it was.
The fact that you called Blatt being fired and Tyronn Lue taking over, and then 48 hours later it happens, that was spooky, Jag. I don't want to cross you.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't. So our next clipcast will be after the Timberwolves game before they hit the road again.
Now, come on, Jack. They're going 3-0 in the homestand. That's not just me being on the bandwagon and being a homer. They're going 3-0 in the homestand, Jack.
They're going 3-0. They are. I'm going for it, too.
Okay.
Which you know, right now we're looking at a team that is, what, 30-16? They hit the 30 mark. So they get on this next roadie, which leads them up to the All-Star break.
Right.
So this will be the last time we see them at Staples until after the All-Star break, which they host San Antonio and Golden State back to back.
I guess we're going to take the week off All-Star during the All-Star break, I guess, unless some story happens.
Yeah, I would assume so. I mean, we usually publish every
Thursday morning,
every Thursday, but we should probably that week publish that Friday because it's going to be a Thursday night Spurs game.
Yeah, but it's the Spurs. Who cares? Oh, wait, the Spurs, good guys.
Yeah. See, coming out of the All-Star.
Out of the All-Star. But I'm talking about the All-Star break. We won't have a clipcast.
Yeah, we're off.
We're off. We're taking the vacation.
Yeah, we've covered enough for Clipper Nation.
We earned it.
You're right. And let's remember, let's put this on our Clipper bulletin board. Remember, February 19th is the trade deadline.
February 19th is the trade deadline. That is important to know, Jag.
Yep. So keep that in. Put that on your Clipper calendar.
Because, look,
put that on your Clipper
we're not going to know any answers until they present themselves. And all we know is that the S hit the fan in Toronto. And we told you what we know. And I knew that story before the world did, Jag, because, you know, my sources are airtight. I knew everything that you know before you knew it, and now you know it. And honestly, I told my source, I'm not going to leak this story because I don't want it to get out. Because I love Blake Griffin too much. But the story got out. And it's out there. What will happen next? Only time will tell. And as soon as I know, look, here's the thing. I'm willing to go against my source. And as soon as I know anything about Blake, I'm letting you, the Clipper Nation fans, know. I'll let you know on this show. If I know something, you'll know it.
And for now, it's important for everyone in Clipper Nation to keep on riding the ship and riding this team. These guys are playing phenomenal.
They're playing phenomenally.
Doc Rivers is doing a great job. And, you know, everyone, you know, again, the class act. You know, they get, again, they're supposedly hated by everyone.
Not by Clipper Nation. We love them more than ever.
Not by Clipper Nation. Not by Clipper Nation.
I'll tell you one thing. It's not boring being a Clipper fan.
No. We have emojis over the summer.
Could you imagine if this was Buckcast? You know what I mean?
Buckcast. Oh, Jason Kidd had back surgery.
Like, what are we going to talk about on Buckcast? What if it was Timberwolfcast? What would we talk about? The Jaguar would howl at the moon on the Wolfcast?
Oh, that would be great.
Stop howling at the moon and start sounding the horn, Jag.
This just in, Clipcast in ears, as reported by Ben Bolch and the LA Times, Clippers coach Doc Rivers says, and I quote,
"Everybody will be back. We're a team, and we're still a team, and Blake's part of our team, and he's going to remain part of our team."
So he says, we're a team, we're still a team, Blake's part of our team, and he's going to remain part of our team. He continues to say, we have to support him and support everybody. So take that to the bank, the Clipper Bank. He's part of the team. He'll still be part of the team. Blake's not going anywhere.